Welcome back to the second episode of Loki with your boys Eli and Drew.
Hey.
How are we doing?
Doing good.
I'm good.
But yeah, no, it's
cool. It's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, what can I say? I mean, I feel like banging. I think this episode. I mean, to use a very interesting word to describe how good this episode was. You know.
Yeah, it's really good. It's. There's a bit of Wes Anderson vibes to it, in my opinion.
Really? In terms of, I guess,
some of the shot compositions.
Yeah, I guess I can understand where you're coming from with that.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to, probably the scene with Sylvie at the McDonald's, right?
Yeah.
I think I know what you're getting at there. But yeah, it's another solid episode, but let's just sort of get into, I guess, the meat of the episode, right?
Yeah, so essentially, there are people who work under a certain person that are sort of gone rogue.
Doc was the,
yes.
I think she's like, what, Scottish or something?
Yeah,
the
yeah.
The Scottish lady in the first episode that's like, we got to find Sylvie, you know?
Yeah.
She's behind all this. Terrible Scottish accent, by the way, just butchered that completely.
Yeah.
But... yeah, that's sort of like, you know, follow through that last plot line, basically. So I think the one dude we saw that was talking to Doc
mm-hmm.
in that episode was sent to go find Sylvie.
Mm-hmm.
So they find him in a separate, I guess on the sacred timeline, being an actor.
Yeah, because apparently he was an actor at one point.
Yeah, I think that, like, he basically went back to his original role on the sacred timeline as undercover, basically,
mm-hmm.
is what they were saying. And, you know, they do, like, an interesting chase scene. We get to see Loki do his trickster god magic stuff.
Very fun.
Yeah, which, I mean, I won't lie, that is sort of a cool thing to see. Because I do think that one of the things with MCU Loki is that you don't get to see him do as many of, like, the illusions and magic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I was going to say what also is kind of interesting is that this... And I felt like this is always kind of the thing with Loki, is that it gets a very... Doctor Who vibe.
Yeah, the exploring different periods of time and like getting to see the characters dress up and
mm-hmm.
like that era.
They're going stuff. Very hard on this one.
Yeah, no, I definitely feels like that, right?
Yeah, but essentially they catch him and they're trying to be like, okay, what's Stark doing, and also what were you doing?
Yeah, like did you find Sylvie?
Yeah.
Like being like the big other question, like because he was. Obviously, they're, like, trying to find Sylvie, and Doc is planning something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that sort of thing. And they do an interrogation room thing, and obviously,
mm-hmm.
I think the hunter's name is X2, right?
Yeah.
But they call him Brad, because that's basically his actual name.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, he gets under the skin of both Loki and Mobius, but you assume Loki would be the one to flip out. But no, he manages to keep his composure, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's Mobius that flips out, you know?
Because, like, even he's, like, bothered by, like, okay, what was my life?
Yeah, because that's...
Who was I?
Because, yeah, like, that's sort of Brad's thing. You're like, yo, we all have lies about this. None of this is real. Why are we still, you know, trying to cling on to the TVA, all right?
Yeah.
We could all go back to our lives, and Mobius is like, shut the hell up. And, you know, he walks out of the room. He's like, yo, whoa, whoa. Even Loki's, like, weirded out, like, yo, I've never seen you like this.
Yeah, and he's tense because, like... One, the situation is going on, but also, like, the whole idea that he had a life. Like, the reason why, was it, the chick, what was her name?
The other hunter, right?
Yeah, the other hunter.
B-12, right?
B-12, yes. When she finds out, she's like, she's almost moved to tears.
Yeah.
At the life that she'd lost, and the life that she could have had.
Mm-hmm.
And then now, like... She's kind of like more the head now. She's like the one with the moral compass, especially now as we see towards the end.
Yeah, even she's no longer in that hunter uniform anymore. She's just in like a regular business suit sort of stuff. Sort of
yeah,
taking that higher, I guess.
Because she's the first one to figure it out.
Yeah, like she has like a bit more responsibility and stuff. And yeah, and she's
probably the only one level headed enough.
Yeah.
While like Loki and Mobius are out hunting for Sylvie and hunting for Dox. So it only makes sense for her. Plus, like, she's the only character we're being introduced to who could take the lead.
Yeah, at this point, right, with Renslayer gone and clearly the council being sort of, like, you know, trying to figure out what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she clearly seems to be taking up that sort of, like, all right, I'll be
mm-hmm.
leading operation stuff, making sure everything runs smoothly here.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, you know, there's that stuff. They do find, like, I think Brad had a temp pad, you know, like little thing that allows him to, like, travel to different timelines and stuff. They send it to Orboros to, like, figure out, like, hey, he messed with it. We need to figure out, you know, what's up with it.
He's like, fuck you guys, I'm busy trying to fix stuff. Here's the manual.
Yeah, pretty much. Meanwhile, obviously, as we get back to B-12, and, why am I forgetting his name?
The Latino dude.
Yeah. Isn't it? But anyways, because I want to say it starts with a C. Casey. You know, because Casey's job is trying to find Ren, you know, Renslayer, right?
Yeah.
Make sure, like, if her temp pad's pinged, you know, like, we'll find her, because, you know, she has to answer for some, right, answer for her questions, right? Yeah, like, she's been lying the entire time. What's up with that? And obviously Loki reveals, like, hey, yeah, she's probably working with the Hero Remains. We need to figure out what all that's about.
Mm.
But the main important thing is that Casey sees the temp as, like, oh, this thing wasn't, like, used to, like, block signals. But it is,
it was modified for some reason.
Yeah, which we'll later find out in the episode. But, you know, they get it, you know, they try to interrogate Brad, obviously, that's where we sort of come back to that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they go for a second round, except Loki does a little bit of a, you know, like, bad cop.
Yeah. He was the bad cop.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things, like, you forget, this is Loki. He gouged the guy's eyes out.
Yeah, like,
Avengers 1.
At this point, it's like, because, like, Brad was like,
yeah,
like, you're not the hero type, dude. You gotta stop, you know, you're a villain. And it's like, oh, you know what? I am.
Yeah.
It's like, uh-oh. It's like,
yeah.
I might have kicked the hornet's nest here.
Yeah. Because, like he's like, you're meant to be a villain.
Yeah.
That's who you are. That's what you are in this timeline shit.
Yeah.
That's who you are. Because he's been, like, the whole time, he's like, we should be going back to what we were. You're a fucking villain. You should act like the villain.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, why, thank you. Wait, no, that's not what I meant.
Yeah, classic, like, uh-oh, I've made a mistake here. And, you know, they trap him in, like, this little box that's constantly shrinking. So it's like, he's going to get crushed to death. Eventually, he reveals what his whole game, like, the whole plan was, is that, yes, he was supposed to find Sylvie. However, he, instead of being undercover, he straight up just ditched the mission because he wanted to go back to his life.
Yeah. He found out he was a movie star. And it's like,
yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you go back to that life, right?
Yeah.
Screw hunting people through different timelines. I just want to be a movie star.
I'm fucking rich and famous, dude.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, he did find Sylvie. So he then, like, he agrees to, like, hey, I'll show you where I found her.
Mm-hmm.
Just let me live my life again, please.
Yeah.
I don't want to do all this nonsense. Like, all right, fair. All right, we'll do that. And I think we see a little sort of side plot with Ouroboros.
Yeah.
That he's trying to fix the temporal pool.
Yeah.
You know, the timeline. And he notices that he can't, like, unlock the blast doors without somebody's, like, specific
key.
Yeah, key. And it's like, well, how do we do this? And then we have a little bonding moment between him and Casey, where Casey's like, hey, wait, you're Ouroboros? You're the guy that wrote the TVA manual? It's like, yeah, that's
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my god,
you're my hero.
Yeah, like, I read this entire book. Like,
back and forth.
Yeah, it's like, you have?
No one's read my book.
Yeah, it's like,
they keep asking me for shit.
Yeah, it's like, can you autograph it? And then in the B-12, like, all right, first of all, let's shut up. Let's get back to the situation at hand here, right?
Because Ouroboros is so lonely.
Yeah, you know, it's a fun little character bonding moment that he's like, oh, you like my stuff? Oh my god, I can't believe it.
Yeah, look, because they're both, like, the most, like,
introverted, like, you know, characters that, like, sort of just, like, very timid about stuff.
Yeah, it's what happens when you meet, like, a nerdy dude, right?
It's like, oh my god, we bonded.
Yeah, it's like, oh my god, you're my best friend?
Yeah, from Step
Brothers. Like, whenever you just happen to run into a guy who's, like, just into the same anime you are, and you're like,
oh, yeah.
Brother!
We just become best friends? Yeah.
It's like, that's what it is.
Yeah. But yeah, anyways, so Loki, Mobius, and Brad head to where Sylvie's at, which
yeah.
is still at the McDonald's.
And
you know?
Man, do they stay there at McDonald's for a while.
Well, yeah, because, you know, we have this very tense moment where Loki and Sylvie see each other again, and Loki's just trying to get the courage to, like, be like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
And it's like,
when you meet your ex.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I need to talk to you. All right, well, my bake's in 5 minutes, so we'll wait till then. And Brad the entire time is just so, like, deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I can we just leave? Like, we're done here, right? It's like, no. Well, he's like, no, I'm going to get myself an apple pie, all right? It's like, oh, come on.
At this point, it's just product placement.
A little bit. Like, at least they're not looking straight into the camera as, like, try McDonald's new apple pie or whatever. Like, look at all, look at this Loki get in your McDonald's kids meal, you know? But anyways, they have a conversation, obviously.
Have it your way.
That's Burger King, not McDonald's. Yeah, but anyways, you know, Loki and Sylvie have a conversation, right?
Mm.
You know, Loki talks about seeing her in the future at the TVA, and she's just sort of like, I don't care about any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm living my life here. I've done what I needed to do.
She's the only competent employee at McDonald's, which is so hard to find nowadays.
And this is back in, like, the 80s, so, you know, that's saying something, right? That's
saying a little bit. If it was in that current day, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, like, she's pretty much just like, I give people free will. You know, I've done my part.
Yeah.
I don't want to deal with any of this TVA stuff anymore, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, leave me alone. And Loki's like, hey, listen, all right? We have a bunch of shit going down. Hell, when He Who Remains and all his variants show up, what are you going to do then? And he's just sort of like, I'll kill them all.
Yeah.
Killing the first one wasn't, you know, that hard. Although, obviously, I feel like
the second one just let her kill him.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, I'm just saying, right?
Yeah.
Like, it might be hard for her to take down a legion of Kangs. I'm just going to point that out.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, you know, it becomes clear that Brad did not mention to Mobius or Loki that, you know, what Doc's plan was. Because at that point, you know, Mobius starts questioning, like, wait, did you set us up? It's like, no. I just want to really get out of here. He's like, okay, what's going on?
Yeah. They figured something out. He's like, he's being way too jumpy.
Yeah, it's like, all right, what's going on here? And that's when Brad reveals Doc's plan, which is to, you know, as we saw in the episode before, she was getting a lot of stuff. It's like, that's way too much overkill for Sylvie. What's going on here? Now we know. Doc was planning to just mass prune all of the timelines.
I don't like to throw this word so lightly right now, but a lot of people I've seen online compare it to, like, damn near genocide.
Yeah, I mean,
because, and even, because she eventually succeeds.
Well, yeah, I think she prunes a good, like, I want to say at least 80%,
because
we see, so we see, like, you know, all the branches sort of, like, you know, being disappeared as the plan happens. Loki, Mobius, and Sylvie all go to stop her while they send Brad back to the TVA. You know, like, it's a very quick, like, resolution, but it's very much, like, a too little too late.
Yeah.
Because by the time they get back to the TVA, they see just how devastating.
And it's just B-12's saying, like, all these timelines, all these lives, gone.
Yeah, like, those are people, you know, that's what she says.
It's one of those things where if you just take it as it is and rather than just sit and, like, dwell in the possibility of what is going on, that is essentially, like, horrifying, right? They essentially killed, I can't even, can't come up with a number for it, because that'd be
Trillions
of people, of like, lives. And, like, yeah, they're all, like, you know, variants and stuff, but that's still, like, as we've seen from, like, Sylvie and the seasons prior with the multiple other Lokis, they have their own lives to live.
Yeah, they all, you know,
were
different. They all had lives and stuff like that, right? Like, yeah, it is one of those things of, like, it's definitely a thing that I think is carrying over.
Mm.
You know, it's probably, like, one of the main arching themes of the series. Like, yeah, like, listen, you know, it provides that conflict, right? Of, like, He Who Remains is technically right, you know? Like, you know, a Kang dynasty, if you will, will ultimately lead to multiversal war and lead to millions of deaths, or trillions, billions, and all that stuff. So he was right in, like, he wanted to, like, make a sacred timeline so that way there wouldn't be something like that to happen. But at the same time, you know, you look at the reality of, like, well, you're just killing so many different people just because they're all variations of that timeline and stuff, right?
It's one of those where...
It's like a very complicated moral question when you think about it, right?
Yeah. Because, like, he's... Like, obviously, there's always a chance that there's, like, an evil version of yourself out there, yeah. But, like, whether or not to kill or, you know, destroy the entire timeline is in itself, like, questionable. It harkens very much to, like, a moral question that was put in... Because, obviously, they're gearing up for Secret Wars, and clearly they're inspired by Jonathan Hickman's take on Secret Wars, which was, like, a multiversal thing. And in that one, I think there was a... Not in that book, but the lead-up to it, right? There was an Avengers book of, like... We might have to destroy some worlds to save ours. And then they get confronted by, like, an alternate universe superhero team, and it's like, we can find a way, we can help each other find a way. What have you guys been doing? We destroyed some, you know, Earths. I'm like, you monsters. You're total monsters. Kind of stuff. It's that kind of shit, right? It kind of harkens to that vibe, and I really do like what Loki is doing right there. I feel like out of all the Marvel shows right now, this one's setting up the multiverse stuff a lot better.
I mean, yeah, even, like, it also, like, going back to the last episode, it sets up the threat of Kang so well.
Mm-hmm.
Just that, you know, I know people were kind of at least a little upset.
Miffed,
I guess is the right word, of Kang in the Ant-Man movie, mainly in just how he was beaten.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's like, oh, this is supposed to be our next big bad guy, and he gets beat by Ant-Man.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, I mean, the idea of Kang is more of, like, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Right? This isn't just a Thanos type of, like, oh, you know, I have only
one villain.
Stones, and I can just wreck people. It's like, no, try a bunch of crazy, super smart people that have pretty much technology that's so advanced that you can consider it magic or whatever.
Yeah.
All gang, you know, all joining forces or whatever to kick your ass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the threat of Kang, that there's a bunch of them, right?
Yeah.
And they all have, like, various, you know...
They're variants.
Yeah, like, they're all hinged on wanting just complete domination and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. It's the thing that we're, like, the character of He Who Remains and the Kang we see in Quantumania and the Kang that we're eventually going to see later on in the show are completely different characters.
Uh-huh.
And just because that we assume that they're all the same, that they all should be the same, but no, there's... Each one has their own, like, unique thing about themselves. And each one is just more and more dangerous than the last. Yeah, that's kind of what they're going with. That's why the character of He Who Remains is like, oh, we're all fucking dangerous. Let's avoid all this shit.
I mean, yeah. I mean, heck. Yeah, like you said, when we do see Kang in the show, because he obviously is. I do remember the one little teaser from... At the end of of the Ant-Man movie, right? Where it's like, they see, like, that variation of Kang. It's like, really? This is the guy? And Loki is just like, no, listen, alright?
Mm.
He may look different, or at least he may not seem like it, but he is as dangerous as everybody else,
mm-hmm.
as these guys, right?
And that's kind of the point. I think that's also why, like, a lot of people kind of, like, take a disliking to how that was treated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think originally that Ant-Man was supposed to have, like, a more darker ending where he was stuck into the quantum realm. Which, honestly, I feel like that would make more sense.
I mean, yeah, I could see it happening like that, too, because, I mean, you have Scott's daughter, Cassie,
mm-hmm.
having an Ant-Man suit, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it does seem like a lot of what this multiverse arc is trying to set up is, like, the next generation of heroes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like, you know, that's partially the reason why, you know, you have Cassie in that sort of role where, like, oh, she's going to be learning to be the next Ant-Man or Ant-Girl or whatever.
Mm, yeah.
I think she's called Antling, right, in the comics?
No.
No, is that not the name?
No, she goes by a different name. I just don't remember what the top of it, off the top of my head was.
Yeah, but point is, like, she essentially... Because I feel like that's what a lot of like this current phase of the MCU is trying to do, which makes sense, because you do have a lot of, you know, aging stars, I guess.
Mm.
Like, as much as you would like to see Benedict Cumberbatch play Doctor Strange for, like, years to come.
It's the same thing they called Stinger and Girl, but the one I always remember was Stature.
That's interesting. I won't lie, probably out of all those, Stature is kind of the best name.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's sort of,
mm-hmm.
I think, a theme that sort of is surrounding that. And it's probably why a lot of people aren't as that into the MCU, or at least, because it's like, yeah, like, sure, Spider-Man's going to be there and all, you know, all that stuff. But it's like, it's just kind of hard to get with the next gen when you have all your previous, you know, characters that you liked are just no longer going to be there.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, that's just sort of the reality of, like, these movies, right? You can't, as much as I would like to have seen, like, you know, Robert Downey Jr. stay Iron Man for, like, these next past couple of years, like, he has a life, too, you know? He wants to make other movies.
I think
same
it's
thing
also,
with Chris Evans, right?
Yeah, I think it's also just, like, it's weird. They're very stretched out into things. I mean, have you heard about the recent, like, talks about actually getting showrunners now for their shows?
Which, I won't lie, that actually surprised me a little bit.
Yeah.
When it comes to, oh, wait, so this is how they've been running the Disney Plus Marvel shows? That's actually kind of strange. It seems, it's a bit unconventional.
Yeah.
Because, I know the idea is that, like, for at least a lot of these shows. You know, they're supposed to be, like, limited series. They're not supposed to have, like, a second season and stuff. They're supposed to wrap it up. But we've talked about it, right? A lot of the problems with that is just that it feels not very paced well.
Not very paced well, not very well thought out. It feels like we're trying to, like, get to point A to point B without really focusing on a lot
of
stuff.
Like, developing it naturally and that stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Where, like, if it was a show, it feels a lot more, you know, right, and I find it so funny that honestly, it makes a lot more sense considering how most of these shows have been. Like, obviously, like, you know, Loki and WandaVision are the exception, because I think those were the first two to be developed. That and, like, Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I feel like, those three shows definitely have that mantra, where, like, okay, they haven't, I mean, obviously Loki has good, like, was probably the best out of all of them.
Mm.
WandaVision, you know,
That was meant to be a short-form series.
Yeah, you definitely feel that. I mean, granted, a lot of people may have issues with how it ends, you know, which is, like, a understandable, you know, classic, like, I am you, but evil, fight, let's go, and stuff like that. And I liked Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I know some people were, like, kind of, that's mid, you know?
Yeah.
But I liked it enough. But, yeah, the rest of the shows all have, like, these weird, like, pacing problems and issues, and it's just sort of, like, you know.
Yeah, I like how people are starting to find out how shows are being made, where you need a showrunner, you need a show bible, and all that stuff.
Well, I mean, I feel like most people don't really get into the nitty gritty of, like, the behind the scenes of making a show, right? There's a lot of collaboration and decision making. It's not just like, oh, let's just put the writers in a room and they'll figure out whatever and we'll just film it then, right? It's like, there's a lot of, like, thinking and, like, planning out stuff, usually. I mean, heck, I remember in screenwriting classes, that's one of the things when you talk about making a show, like, you want to have, like, some form of, like, yeah, like a story bible kind of thing, where, like, okay, like, it's just sort of like a not a dictionary, like a like an appendix of all the stuff that you need to know about various characters or various locations. It's like, and from there, the writers will, like, okay, let's bring it all together into a story kind of thing, right? Like, oh, what about this? Let's go to the story bible. Let's see, you know.
Would that make sense with what we're trying to write?
Yeah, you know, that sort of thing, right? And the thing, too, with, like, a showrunner, like, they're not the director per se, but it's sort of like a in between of, like, a director and a producer kind of thing. Like, they have, essentially, they have the vision, and they sort of go with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of like where like that all that leads into.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things where, like I said, I think it's I mean, people aren't gonna know off the top of their heads what's what, but I find it interesting how people are just now starting to learn and find out what these things are, and how like the process of making not only just movies and but TV is like very, very difficult. It's not as easy as, you know, there's more to just to it than just writing. Like when we were talking about how films are made, usually like a page is a minute of in the script. It's, then people will be like, "What do you mean a page is a minute? A page is a minute."
Yeah, like straight up, try to find like a script from like a movie or a show or whatever online and just compare it to like how it's actually done. That's it's crazy when you say it, but when you actually look at it, it's like, oh. Like,
And you also got also the things that get cut there might be in the script and then later taken out because
well, I mean, yeah, because you have rewrites and like sometimes you're like, okay, well that doesn't work well in our story. I mean, that's the thing about like making shows and movies and stuff. Like, there's always constant changes up until the final release. I mean, granted, this is a bit of a different situation,
yeah.
but the fact that the ending scene for Across the Spider-Verse, you
Oh,
know, where
yeah.
Gwen gathers up whoever wants to join her to save Miles and stuff, was done like within like the last couple weeks before the movie came out. Sort of just shows you that, like, yeah, things are still worked on and that stuff, but it also on a separate tangent, right? Like, it
Yeah.
shows like, wait, you mean to tell me we had the animators working like 3 couple weeks before the movie came out on this? Is that crunch? Is that why the movie kind of felt like it could have ended like maybe 15 minutes earlier? You know, it's like a lot of those like questions, like, hey, wait a minute. As much as cool as the scene is, like,
Know about that, boss.
yeah, you know,
Cause
but it.
I mean, maybe, yeah, but yeah, it's crunch aside, that's I would not recommend it. But like, yeah, no, there's always changes and stuff like that. But back to Loki, because this one feels more concrete. You know, this is what we're doing. This is what we want to do, and it feels more right. Obviously, now that stuff has happened, we gotta wait and see where it goes. Because Sylvie's like, I don't want any of this, and obviously, this is setting up for them to look for Kang. And yeah, no, I'm very excited to see where this goes. I think Loki is probably still the best show out of all the Marvels.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with
Yeah.
that. Just the way things are shot, the way the story has played out so
Yeah.
far, like all of it just feels like, yeah, this is neat, this is interesting. It handles the idea of the multiverse very well. And you know, it's like, I don't know, it's just like a nice, cool like experience, and I kind of want to see where we go, you know?
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. And that's where we're putting the end to this episode, guys. If you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to follow us on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We're most active on Instagram. Be sure to follow us on YouTube. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe. We are on every podcasting site available. So, yeah, if you guys enjoy, let us know. And yeah, that's about it. Also, we have a Patreon. Yeah, this is me, your boy, Eli.
It's me,
You guys
Joe.
have a good one. Peace.